Let's take our Bibles together again tonight and go to the prophet Haggai. And now we've come to the third message of this prophet, Haggai chapter 2. And God's message for God's people then is still relevant for God's people now. Haggai chapter 2, we've got five verses to look at. We'll break up this message into two parts. Haggai chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 10, in the 24th day of the 9th month in the 2nd year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, ask now the priests concerning the law, saying, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread, or pottage, or wine, or oil, or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priests answered and said, no. Then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priests answered and said, it shall be unclean. Then answered Haggai and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. Let's pray together. Father, we pray you'd give us understanding of this thy word as we study it together. May it build us up upon our most holy faith. Teach us the principles that we need for life. Help us as we hide this word of God in our hearts, that we might not sin against thee. Lord, we're thankful for the time of prayer that we've had. We're thankful for the good church as we are able to gather together and bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. But we pray now, Lord, that you would help us internally with your word. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for all that you teach us and give us tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've looked at these dates. There are four messages, and you can divide them up, but there are four messages divided here in the prophet Haggai. Remember chapter 1, verse 1, would you look at it again? In the 2nd year of Darius the king, in the 6th month, in the 1st day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet. And we told you that that 6th month is overlapping and is sort of the month of September, not exactly. It wouldn't be September the 1st exactly, but around September and the first day of that month, he gives that first message. And then 7 weeks later, in chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible said in the 7th month, in the 1 and 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, that's around the month of October the 20th, but not really, but sort of that's the date we could put our hearts on. 7 weeks later, another preaching message. And then verse 10 of chapter 2, in the 24th day of the 9th month, and that's around the month of December. So it looks like December the 24th, but not actually December the 24th because of the overlapping again of the months, but it's 4 days lacking 2 months from the past message, in the 24th day of the 9th month in the 2nd year of Darius came the word of the Lord by Haggai. And as he ends, they get a second message the same day, verse 20, the fourth message. And again, the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month. You say, what is the principle here? And we mentioned it just briefly, but the fact that how blessed we are to get more than just one message from God every now and then, that we, you know, you don't have to wait 2 months to get another message for God to speak to you. But the truth was that without the prophesying and preaching of Haggai the prophet, God's people are having serious problems. They would not have been doing what God wanted them to do. They would not have continued what God wanted them to continue. And their hearts just wouldn't have been right without that preaching and prophesying. And I say this not because I'm a preacher, but just it's the truth. We need a steady diet of preaching. Amen. We need a steady diet of the message of the Word of God coming into our ears. The days are long gone where, you know, we have a Brill Cream religion. Boy, that really dates me, amen. A little dab will do you. It's not that. You need a steady diet of preaching. Because without that steady diet of preaching, your heart is going to have a problem. Now, notice, I didn't say a steady diet of church. You know, there are a lot of people who go to church that don't go to preaching. They had plenty of, they're rebuilding the temple, right? I mean, they could have all the, and they were offering sacrifice again. They had that form of religion, but it was only in these stages that they got a message from God. Oh, what we need in our lives is the message of God. We don't just need to be planted into a church service. I believe in church. I went to church in my mother's belly. Amen. I believe in that. Always. But there's a message that we need to hear. And the sad thing is a lot of people go to church and they never hear God's message. And Haggai steps out and he begins preaching these messages and they need them so desperately. You know, you need Bible reading in your life, right? Every day you need to read your Bible and get a message from God that way, right? But you know, you need more than just Bible reading in your life. You need the preaching of the Word of God to you. That's what's wrong with all these house churches. They don't have a pastor. They don't have a preacher. I don't know who they take up the offerings for that the Bible tells me. I don't know the missionaries that, you understand? You need more than just a Bible. You need more than just a religion or a church. You need the preaching of the Word of God that's bringing the message of the Word of God to your heart. And I tell you what, without a steady diet of preaching, we're just too messed up without it. I mean, my life would have a totally different direction if it hadn't been for a diet of preaching in my life. And still, you know, I have to listen to preaching myself. It's not the same being there, but I need the preaching of the Word of God. And you need the preaching of the Word, and you need it in a steady diet. And here, man, God's just giving them, here's 7 weeks later, they get another message 2 months later, and then finally, they get two messages in one day. But the truth is that, you know, I heard Dr. Robertson say years ago, he said, you need three to thrive, he said. That's what he said. You need three to thrive. That's what he said. You know, I've noticed that. I've noticed that people that miss the preaching of the Word of God start missing things in their life. And their spiritual life doesn't thrive. Because I tell you what, we're not just right with God automatically. It just doesn't work that way. And this message is given to them again because they needed another message. They needed a new message. They needed a different message. And I wonder how many times God had the message for brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so or the kids, but they weren't there to hear it. I mean, it could have changed their life. It could have solved their problem. I believe we got a book that solves problems. I really do. But if you're not there to hear God's message to you, you miss out. You miss out. And the truth is that in the early church that, you know, they did a lot more than the three. You know what I've noticed by and large? That people that stay connected on a regular basis for all the preaching of the Word of God, it either helps change their life and make them more like Jesus Christ, or they start dropping it off. I've just noticed that. Have you noticed that? And maybe they don't drop all three of them off, but they'll drop one of them off and they'll drop two of them. And by the way, that's why this new generation and this new Christianity, they don't need three services a week. They hardly need one. And they don't need an hour of preaching or 30 minutes of preaching. They hardly need 15 minutes. Because the Christianity today and all of these purpose-driven churches and all these emergent churches, the purpose is not to get you the message of the Word of God. The purpose is to have a social gathering or to make you feel at home or to be inclusive to you. It's not to get you the message of the Word of God. And the purpose of our gathering, we sing, we pray, but we want God and we need God to give us a message for our lives. And I just noticed when people miss that, it's easier to miss again. And it's easier to miss again. And before you know it, their life ends up in a place where they didn't think it would end up. Why? Because they were not there to thrive under hearing the Word of God, not once a week, not once a month, but time after time after time. It's a necessity. It just is a necessity. I've noticed people, somebody said the other day, I don't want to be a, who's that? Brother Ray said that. I don't want to be a SMO. Is that what you said? A Sunday morning only. I don't want to be. And of course you're not. You're here on Wednesday night. I don't want to be a SMO. Have you noticed the Sunday night messages are a little different? Have anybody noticed that? You know that's not a co-winky-dinky. You know, I'm glad for anybody to come hear the Word of God. But here's the truth. Here's the truth. The more you get, the deeper you'll get, you see. And some people just don't want deeper. Some people don't want more of God. They they'll choke on it. But I tell you what, I want all I can get. I do. I want all I can get. I need all I can get. I don't want to miss any of it. And if you'll just stay in there and do that three to thrive, I mean, it'll help you. It'll help you. It'll help your life. And really, that three times, look at, go to Luke. That continual preaching. Boy, I tell you what, you can get so out of shape with God and backslidden, just missing a little bit of church. Boy, I'm telling you what. And we're fixed to see that Haggai, what he tells them is, you're not automatically holy. And what his message is going to be, I'm not even got to the message, but what his message is going to be is that holiness just doesn't rub off on you. It don't do that. It doesn't just poof. It doesn't. And when you walk around people that are holy, that doesn't make you holy. And when you walk around people that love God, that doesn't make you love God. But boy, you have a tendency to let all that which is unclean, that easily rubs off on you. That's Haggai's whole message this time. The bad stuff gets on you quick. And the good stuff takes time and heart. It's not just an easy thing. What was I preaching on? What was I talking about, Brother Gary, before I started getting on that tangent? You weren't listening either. I told you to turn to Luke. That's exactly what I told you to do. And the truth is, in the Bible, it was a daily experience. I was going to go to Luke 9. We're Luke 9, I think it's 23. Jesus talks about taking up your cross how many times? Daily. It's a daily, Christianity is supposed to be a daily Christian experience. Amen. It's not something you need once a week. It's something you need every day of your life with the Lord. Amen. You know, the Bible said they search the Scriptures daily. I mean, they're in their Bible every day. You know, I notice people that are in their Bible every day don't have a problem coming to church three times a week. Hey, these emergent, these liberal churches, they're not reading their Bible every day. Give me a break. Even the wrong version, they're not reading every day. They're not in it every day. It's not a lifestyle. It's just something I've added to the rest of my life. But here, look what Jesus said in Luke chapter 22, or Luke 19. I'll read that one first. In Luke 19, you need a steady diet of preaching more than you think you do. You don't need once a month. You don't need every now and then. You've got to have a diet of it. A diet of Bible reading, a diet of praying, a diet of daily taking up your cross, following the Lord. But you need a diet, and really, when I say three to thrive, we're not even up to the level of the New Testament. We're just trying to hold the fort. You know, you go if you go to church three times a day, you're so far away from what they did in the New Testament church. Well, let's just read it. Luke chapter 19, verse 47. Here's what Jesus did. Luke 19, verse 47. The Bible said, and he, that's Jesus, taught, what's the next word? Daily in the temple. That means he was there every day, if I can read. Every day he's teaching in the temple. And they still didn't get it. Oh, wow. If you can't get help from Jesus teaching every day, I wonder how many of those people didn't show up. Can you imagine getting to heaven before God and knowing that he sent his only begotten son down to the world, and that God in the flesh taught every day in your town, and you were too busy milking the cow? I mean, can you imagine that? The one that created the sun, moon, and stars, and you were too busy? I mean, he was there every single day. You know how many people in Jesus' day that never heard him teach once? Boy, I don't want to be that person. He taught daily. And the Bible said then on in chapter 22, he mentions it again when they come to arrest him, you know. In Luke chapter 22, verse 53, he says, "When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness." He said, "Why are you coming in and trying to arrest me secretly? I was down here every day teaching the Bible." You see, his habit was every day. Look at Acts chapter 2. I think you know these verses. Our Christianity is so far below the standard of normal that when anybody complains or when anybody just can't prioritize hearing the preaching of the Word of God, it just amazes me. Because Acts 2, because the Bible said in Acts 2, verse 42, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers." And the Bible said in verse 46, "And they continuing," what does it say? Daily with one accord, where? Every day that God's people went down to the temple. Do you see that? Every single day. You say, how did they do that? You think none of them worked? Oh, they worked. They worked more than we worked. I guarantee you that for sure. They went daily into the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church what? Daily such as should be saved. Why was God adding people daily such as should be saved? They're having church every day. I'll never forget when I led that guy to the Lord in Romania and he started studying his Bible and he come up to me and said, "When do we get to do that daily thing?" Man, I felt I was under conviction. I just said, "Well, later, we'll have to grow in that." You know, I've never grown up to that point. I'm not talking about daily reading your Bible. I'm talking about daily in the temple. You see that? We've got it easy. We got it easy, man. Hey, look at chapter 5. It's all through here. It's not just Acts 2. Acts chapter 5. I'm just starting this message about Haggai because they're just getting a message every now and then. But because of that, there's problems in between those messages. There's inconsistencies and fallacies in their life between those messages. Acts 5, the Bible says, verse 42. "And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." They're teaching daily, they're preaching daily in the temple and in every house. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. "And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration." That's a ministry. In other words, the ministry they were doing, there were some people getting neglected. There were so many of them. And one group was getting upset at the other. But what I wanted to point out is their ministry was every day. They were ministering every single day. And the workload got so big that in chapter 6, they said, "Man, we got to have some more full-time people that can help us with this." Because this is a daily ministry. Paul often said that. He talks about the care of the churches that came on him daily. The Bible said he disputed in the school of Tyrannus every day, daily. Said he went in the synagogue every day. You say, "Well, he's a preacher." Well, what about Hebrews 3:13 that says that all of us were to exhort one another daily? Man, we don't even see each other every day. You say, well, I can't exhort each other daily because I don't see each other. Well, we got a phone. I'm just saying, I think we have a we have need of an emphasis, the fact that, hey, I need a steady diet of preaching in my life. And if I don't get that, there's going to be a lack somewhere. And if I don't think I need that, I need it more. Go back to Haggai. So that's verse 10. The word of the Lord comes to him on the 24th day of the ninth month. And then verse 11, the Bible says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, ask now the priests concerning the law, saying. Now, why did God say, go ask the priests a question? Because he asked them two questions because they ought to know the answer. If you went over there, we won't read it. We won't, for time, we won't turn to it. But in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 8 and 9, the Bible says, look, if there's a question or a matter that's difficult, you got a question about something, he said, go to the priests, the Levites, and ask them the question, and let them give you an answer. Why? Because those are people that are supposed to know the law backwards and forwards. Their whole life has been given to that. And he said, go to those priests and ask them this question because they're the ones supposed to know. You remember when Nicodemus came to Jesus and he says, you must be born again, to Nicodemus. And he says, how can a man be born when he's old? And what did Jesus say to him? Art thou a teacher of Israel and you don't know these things? You're the one that's supposed to know about this. You don't know about this? You know what he said over in Hebrews? He said, and for the time when ye ought to be teachers. Listen, you ought to have the answer. But you have need that one teach you again, that be the first principles, oracles of God. You're the one that needs to be taught instead of you're the one having the answer. You know, if we've been saved for any length of time, we ought to have some answers. Right? I tell you what, we live in a world that has a shortage of answers. There's a lot of questions, but few answers. He said, go to those priests and see if they got the answer. They're supposed to have it. See how they did. Look at verse 12. Here's the first question. Question number one. If one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment and with his skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priests answered and said, no. Now he says, if you priests, if you got holy flesh, now what's holy flesh? You know, there's nothing really holy in this world. God's holy. But the principle was in Exodus 29:34, what happened was when they dedicated something to God, listen now, when they dedicated something to God, it became holy. Because it became God's. God, we are consecrating this to you. So when they would bring an animal sacrifice or something, and they would dedicate this to God, this is my thank offering, this is my sin offering, this is my meat offering, this is my wave offering, this is my offering to you. God, this is yours now. Well, when something was consecrated to God, it became holy just because of the nature that now it belongs to God. That makes sense? That's why he talks about that holy place. See, they're in a holy place, not because Jerusalem is so special, not because the brick and mortar is so important, but because it's been consecrated and dedicated to God, which that's the way our lives should be. You know, isn't it strange? You know, if I stayed up all night, I couldn't have put this together. What did I just preach on Sunday in 1 Peter? 1 Peter is as far away from Haggai. The text was on holiness. Now, you might think I'm real smart, but I didn't stand up, you know, way before I started. You know, if I preach Haggai and I preach 1 Peter, I can get these messages. It just don't work that way. And even if I tried, you know, when I start preaching messages, they get longer. You seen that? Or they get expanded, or we'll deal with the next one the next time, the next verse. You can't plan out when those verses collide like that. And we're colliding with Haggai and 1 Peter at the same week with the same message. And it's about holiness and uncleanness. Guys, that's not a coincidence. And here's what Haggai says. He said, okay, you've dedicated something to God, which you're supposed to be consecrated to God. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have God. It's in you. You're supposed to be the one holy. Be holy, for I'm holy, because I'm in you. You belong to me now. So you're supposed to be like me. Now here's what Haggai says. Here's the question. Okay, priest, you got this holy flesh. That's almost a misnomer in it, because there's nothing about my flesh that's holy. I'll tell you that right now. But those animal sacrifices they gave to God, and of course they had to die to be holy, really. Well, that's another rabbit trail. That'd be good preaching right there. They had to die. He said, if you have this holy flesh, and you're taking this holy flesh in the temple, he said, you know, if it touches something that's unclean or not holy. I mean, say you walk through the temple and it touches, what does he say? He says oil and wine and what do you say? Bread. What else do you say? Pottage, meat. He said, if you just take that and it just touches something else, does the thing that it touches, does it become holy? And they said, no. In other words, okay, here's something that's holy, and just by it coming in contact with something else, doesn't make that other thing holy. You know, the Catholics are way off base. If you could have holy water, which you don't, if something that was holy contacted something that was unholy, it wouldn't make them holy anyway. You with me? You know what principle that brings to mind is this. I want my children to be holy. I want the people I go to church with to be holy. But just because I rub shoulders with them, just because I touch them, just because I'm in their lives, it doesn't transfer. Holiness does not transfer. If a parent, if a mom and dad is holy, okay, guys, you can be the best parents in the world. Your holiness will not transfer to them, just like your salvation cannot transfer to them. It doesn't work that way. I wish it did. You know what God called Adam? Called him a son of God. But God's holiness got lost in Adam's life somewhere down the road, didn't it? It wasn't God's fault. But Adam had to make a choice. Now, children can learn holiness. They can see it. They can be taught it. But they can't catch it. I think sometimes, if I'll just be the holy parent, if I'll just be the mom or the dad I'm supposed to be, then the kids just... No, what did I say Sunday? I said it will be only by the grace of God if anybody's kids turn out right, because it just doesn't rub off like that. You say, well, what about all the kids that were in a great home and they turned out right? Yeah, and what about all the kids that were in a great home and didn't turn out right? It doesn't rub off. There has to be a time in that child's life, in that young person's life, that says, I want that too. I want to be consecrated too. Now they ought to see the reality in the parents. They ought to see the reality at church. But man, I tell you what, I've seen in the same church, people sold out to God and other people that are just as backslidden. Now, how is that? Because it doesn't rub off. He says, if something is holy and it touches something else is unholy, it does not get transferred. Christianity does not happen by osmosis. You cannot transmit moral cleanness. It has to be a decision of the heart. It has to be. And listen, if you grow up in a great house or a great home or great parents or a great church, that doesn't mean that your life's going to work out. It doesn't rub off. It doesn't transfer. You got to say, that's what I want. I want to be holy as God is holy. I want to be consecrated. I want to be dedicated to God. It doesn't transfer. I wish it did. They say no. Next question, verse 13. Verse 13. Then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, that's these of the above, the bread, the pottage, the wine, the oil, the meat. If one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. You know how they knew that? Because they were students of the Bible. Hold your finger there and turn to Numbers 19. Now, we are not under the law, and I want to express this really quickly. But as I read this, in the Old Testament, if somebody touched a dead body, they were unclean. Okay? You weren't supposed to do that. And if you did, you had to stay unclean for a certain amount of days. And anything you touch would become unclean. That's what God said to them under the law. We're not under the law, and so don't think, well, if I touch my dead, grandma, then... No, that's not what he's talking about. You're not under law. You're under grace. We don't... Amen. We can eat barbecue. Amen. Praise the Lord. We don't meet on the Sabbath day. Amen. Numbers chapter 19, but this is where they got that. Numbers 19, 11. He that toucheth the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 days. In other words, that deadness rubbed off on you. That uncleanness rubbed off on you. You caught that uncleanness. Verse 12, he shall purify himself with it on the third day, and on the seventh day he shall be clean. But if he purify not himself the third day, then the seventh day he shall not be clean. Whosoever toucheth the dead body of any man that is dead, I don't know if the dead body of any man that is dead. I mean, there's somebody dead that's not dead. I don't know. There's more than one kind of deadness. I know that in the Bible. But anyway, whosoever toucheth the dead body of any man that is dead and purifieth not himself, defileth the tabernacle of the Lord. And that so shall be cut off from Israel, because the water of separation not sprinkled upon him. He shall be unclean. His uncleanness is yet upon him. This is the law when a man dieth in a tent. All that come in the tent and all that is in the tent shall be unclean 7 days. You see what he's saying? Every open vessel hath no covered bat on it is unclean. Whosoever toucheth that is slain with a sword, open field, or a dead body, or bone of a man, or a grave shall be unclean 7 days. He goes through all this process. If any dead body touches any other thing, then that thing is unclean just like the dead thing. Now what can I learn from that? Holiness cannot be transferred, but uncleanness is easily transferred. Wherefore, by one man's sin, sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Eve touched the tree, she became unclean. Eve gave it to Adam, he became unclean. Their children were unclean, and their children were unclean, and you're unclean. We catch uncleanness. It rubs off. It comes in the cradle and goes to the grave. And when we rub shoulders with others, if we're not careful, that which is unclean in their life will rub off in my life. I wish my holiness rubbed off on my kids automatically. It does not. But my uncleanness sure will. You see that? You're in Numbers, but you know what it says in Leviticus? In Leviticus 13, turn over there real quick. He talks about how sin spreads so fast. Oh, church. We got a good church. Praise the Lord. I think we got people that want to be holy and want to do right. I really believe that with all my heart. But you know what else I know? I know uncleanness spreads so fast. And holiness does not. People catch the wrong thing all the time. How quickly this season. Here's a guy got the flu. There's somebody got the flu. That kid's got the flu. They got it again. It's just like passing just passing it out to everybody and just come get rubbed off on you. And so then you got people that say, well, I insulate and isolate myself from everybody, and then they get sick all the time. You know what the truth is? You cannot isolate yourself from germs. You know, all the thing you can do is build up your immune system. Well, that's a weird, I know that's a different philosophy. But that's why our society, I'm meddling now, that's why our society is so weak, because they've taken antibiotics all their life and their immune system is shot. Because they never learned to fight off anything. I'm not saying that, preacher said don't take antibiotics. I didn't say that. There's times for all that. I'm just saying you're in a world of germs, man. You're in a world of bacteria. You're in a world of uncleanness. And you're going to catch it. You're going to breathe it. You're going to touch it. You can't, unless you be like Howard Hughes and lock yourself up in a building and grow fingernails 12 feet long, you're not going to be able to keep yourself from germs. They're going to rub off on you. The sins of other people are going to rub off on you. I mean, just rub off on you. That little thing they said, that little thing they did, that little thing you saw, just rubs off on you like a bad habit. It'd be great if holiness did, wouldn't it? You meet somebody that loves God, and all of a sudden, man, you just get up and rub your shoulder. Woo, thank the Lord, I love God now. Listen, no, you get about that close to somebody that doesn't love God, you know what's going to happen? Rub off on you. He asked those priests, if that unclean touches those things, does that become unclean? Yes, sir, it sure does. You know, that's why you have got to understand the principle in the Bible of separation. It is not that we're just so weird and out of touch and out of date. Here's the truth. Your associates rub off on you. They affect your life. They affect the way you think. They affect the way you talk. They affect the way you live. And here you'll have somebody that was raised right, knows right, loves the Bible, and they get in the wrong crowd that's got the wrong Bible and the wrong lifestyle and the wrong music and the wrong philosophy, and it just rubs off, even if they don't ask for it. It just creeps on them like a bad flu. So that book says, you know, you don't need to be more inclusive. You don't need to be more integrated. You need to be separated. Amen. Now, if you want to go out to them and give them the gospel, amen. If you want to go out to them and tell them the word of God, witness, amen. If you want to sit down and show them Jesus, amen. But if you're rubbing close quarters with other associates that don't believe your Bible and don't love your same Jesus and weren't raised like you and weren't taught like you and have dirty habits and dirty mouths and dirty lives and dirty music and dirty influences and the philosophies of this world, it will creep on you like a bad habit. That's just true. And it's not true just for one age group of people. It's true across the board. Sin is easily transmitted. You take a healthy guy, take a healthy man, and bring that healthy man up close to a diseased child. The same principle. Will the say it's the healthiest man that ever lived, and bring him up real close and hug him close to that diseased child, will his healthiness make her well? No. Will him just being in her presence take away her disease? No. But that little child, diseased up, sure can infect that healthy man. You see how that works? Well, that's the way sin is. That's the way uncleanness is. It'll just rub off on you. And he asked them as they're doing the work of God, he says, why did he ask them these questions? Would you go back to our text? I'm about finished. Why did he ask them these questions? Why did he ask him about, you know, does holiness wear off on others? And the answer is no. And does uncleanness wear off on others? And the answer is yes. Why did he ask him that? Verse 14. Then answered Haggai and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord. And so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. He said, they're going in there and they're offering things to me, but what they're offering to me is unclean. Because their heart's unclean, and that's rubbed off on what they bring to me, and it's unclean. And the holiness hadn't rubbed off on anybody, but the uncleanness sure has. Now listen. This is so important. This message is spoken while they are building the house of God. You would think God would say, great, man, they're building my house. That's all I care about. You know, that's not all what God cares about. God just doesn't care about getting this house built. God cares about how the house is built and who is building the house. He's not just wanting the house built and full and successful. He's wanting the house to be holy and clean. And he said, I tell you what, guys, while you're building my house, you've become unclean. While you've been building my house, you've lost your holiness. You know, if all this modern Christianity is what it's cracked up to be, the whole world would be a different world. It's a worse world. Not better families, worse families. Not better marriages, worse marriages. Not a world impacted with a powerful church, but a world that has no regard for the church. We're not just trying to build the house of God. Because that's not all God cares about. I want God's house to be built. But Jesus said, I'll build my church. Now, I'm glad I get to be co-laborer with that. But I'm not just trying to see the house of God built. I'm wanting to see the people of God that are building it be holy and clean in His sight so He'll be pleased not with brick and mortar and not with the outward facade, but He'll be pleased with the hearts of those that are there. If God was like us, He would say, man, y'all doing a great job, man. Keep laying that brick. We're almost done. And God says to His preacher, go down there and preach to them, because while they're working for me, they've lost sight of what I want them to be. And they need to be holy, for I am holy. And they need to have holy lives. And it's not just about doing right. It's about being right. It's not just about trying to accomplish something for God. It's trying to be clean in our hearts and our lives so that we can really please the Lord. You know what Jesus said about that temple? All the disciples said, boy, look at all these stones. This is a great, beautiful, big place. Jesus said, not one stone of this is going to be on another. It's all going to come down. And it's still down. You know why? Because He doesn't care about all the outward and the facade and the building of the building. He cares about what kind of lives and hearts are involved in that. And I'm telling you, every one of us, from the pulpit to the pew, all of us can catch uncleanness. And He said in this verse, man, this. And you know the good thing about this? God still loved them. God's still preaching to, if God's still talking to you, that means He's still interested in you. Even if you're unclean and you're unholy. Now, He doesn't even tell what they did. You know, that's probably a good thing, because we'd say, well, I don't do that. You know, but that's not the way. I told you, there's all kinds of things about me that can be unclean in here and out here, and unholy in here and out here. He doesn't name what they're guilty of. I don't know what they're guilty of. But they did, and God did, and he said, preacher, go preach about it. I need to get right. He said, this people, verse 14, this people's unclean, this people's unholy. That means you can be unholy and unclean while you're doing the work of God. God forbid. While you're doing right, you can be unholy and unclean. This people, he said, so is this people, and he says, so is this nation. Your nation. You know, if we're like God, we say, well, if it's an unclean and unholy nation, get rid of it. God said, no, that's my nation. I just want them to be holy. And aren't we God's nation? That's what Peter said. We quoted Sunday. You're a holy nation. But he said, right now, the nation's not holy to me. The people's not holy to me. Then he goes on. He says, and so is every work of their hands. He said, what they're doing is unclean. And what are they doing? They're building the house of God. But you know, if you build the house of God with the wrong heart, it's dirty. It's unclean. Boy, that's a big statement. Every work of their hands. This preacher said, everything you guys are doing is unclean. How would you like to hear that on Sunday morning? Everything you're doing is unholy. Why is that? Because all that rubs off on you, and you think just by coming to the temple you're holy, and it didn't rub off on you. And you think just because you've said a prayer, you had the scripture there, you're automatically holy. Just it doesn't rub off on you. You got to want that in your heart. And everything you're doing, I'm not pleased with it because I'm looking down at some uncleanness there that needs to be purified. And the last thing he said, and that which they offer there is holy. Malachi goes into that and talks about how they brought stuff to the Lord as sacrifices, but it was unclean. It wasn't the best they had. It was just something they gave. And God said it was contemptible. He rejected it. He didn't like it. They're bringing their leftovers to God. He said, what you're bringing is not holy. It's unclean. We can even give to God and it not be a holy thing. Got to have that right heart, that clean heart, right motivation. Because really, guys, listen, I'll finish with this. Everything that is a work of the flesh, you read Galatians, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit and it talks about the works of the flesh. And it says the works of the flesh are these. You know what one of them is? It's uncleanness. And whatever I do in the flesh is unclean. And whatever I bring in the flesh is unclean. So I got to go to God and say, God, I want your Spirit to control me. I want your Spirit to clean me. I want your Spirit to have his way in me. And I want my prayer to be clean, and I want my gift to be clean. I want my singing to be clean. I want my church attendance to be clean. I want my life to be clean. And I know it doesn't come automatic. That's my choice. That's my desire. All right, let's bow our heads for prayer.